this is very, very typical in Germany. The politicians, they say, you wanted to have a child, so now you have to take care of the child and you have to organize how you will live with the child. It's something very private, and that's the main problem.
Välkommen till Tysklandspodden, en podcast av Goethe-institutet i Sverige. Vi bjuder in spännande gäster för att prata om kultur, samhälle och mycket mer. Och du kan lära känna helt nya sidor av Tyskland. Jag heter Sonja Leister och jobbar på Goethe-institutet med litteraturprogrammet och biblioteket. Det är inte lätt att ha barn och att jobba. Det vet jag och många andra föräldrar som försöker att få vardagen att gå ihop. Men att ha barn och jobba i Tyskland, det är superdupertufft. Särskilt för kvinnor. Att få ihop livspusslet är en väldigt stor utmaning för tyska kvinnor. Och det blir väldigt tydligt när jag pratar med mina kvinnliga kompisar som bor i Tyskland. Och även när jag följer debatten om familjepolitik där. Den tyska tidningen Die Zeit publicerade till exempel en artikel i mars med rubriken Barn och heltidsjobb, en självklarhet överallt, utom i Tyskland. Dessutom pågår en debatt om deltidsarbete som förbundskanslern Friedrich Merz har dragit igång. Han tycker att för många tyskar jobbar deltid. Och den tyska arbetsmarknadsministern Bärbel Bas vill också att fler mammor ska få möjlighet att arbeta heltid. Men den stora frågan är hur? Barnomsorgen är ganska dyr och väldigt opolitlig jämfört med Sverige. Chefer, kollegor, de kan tycka irriterat när man måste gå hem tidigt, när man måste vabba. Och det finns fortfarande en sån idealbild hur den perfekta tyska mamman ska vara som är ganska annorlunda än idealbilden i Sverige. För att förstå bättre hur allting hänger ihop så har vi med oss den tyska frilansjournalisten och författaren Nathalie Klüver. Hon är trebarnsmamma och bor i norra Tyskland i Lübeck, och Nathalie rapporterar mycket om familjers villkor och har skrivit en bok om familjepolitik. Welcome, Nathalie Klüver. I'm so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
How are your maternal stress levels today?
It's quite okay because my children will come home after 3 o'clock, so I've got some time left to work. So today is a lazy day, so it's head okay for me.
How old are your kids?
The youngest one is 8 years old. Then I have a 12-year-old one and a 15-year-old guy.
Okay, okay. Teenagers.
Yeah, at least two of us, yes.
I think that's important for the conversation. So I would also like to mention that I also have kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, but they are born and raised in Sweden. So I feel blessed.
Yes, I can definitely can say you can do this, feel like this, and I guess we will see why.
I think so too. I would like to you to do a rating on a scale from 1 to 10. How hard is it to be a working mom in Germany?
I think it depends where you are working and if you're having a partner who's helping a lot, because in Germany, you have huge differences between men who are helping and men who are not helping. So I think it's between 7 and 10.
It's interesting that you say helping, because it's their kids. They shouldn't help. They should just do it.
Definitely. You should say they're supporting because it's their household, it's their kid. But yeah. I would say the majority of men in Germany, they're really like helping. And most of them are not really helping a lot.
I get it. An interesting verb here, right from the start in the conversation. For you then, 1 to 10, what would you say?
It's a daily struggle, so it's more like an 8.
That's pretty rough, I would say. But I would like to start to talking a little bit about childcare. And on paper, things look quite great in Germany. Every child has a legal right to a daycare place from their first birthday. But Nathalie, how does that look like in reality?
In reality, in the winter time, it's really tough for moms in Germany because you really don't have you cannot rely on the childcare in Germany. It's like you wake up in the morning at 7 o'clock, you're sitting there having your breakfast, then an email pops up. Oh, today we don't have enough staff working here, so please go on and take your kid at 1 o'clock. Or the best would be if you don't bring your kid to us today. So you start organizing your whole day, your working day around that. And it's normal. And it's really like this between October and March. It's quite normal.
Almost when the staff is ill.
That's it. Mm. And every second week you get emails like this from your childcare. So this is what we have to handle with. And of course, you cannot really work having a full-time job like this. And then people are saying that you can work full-time, but you cannot because the opening times are like between 8 and 4 o'clock. So you cannot have 40 hours job per week because you don't have that much time. You have to go to the daycare and you have to get your kid back and all these things. So it's only something that's written on a paper, but it's not really something you can rely on. And then, of course, you have to find a place for your kid. It's not that easy, especially in the big cities. There is much more families who want to have a place and not enough places. So you really, right after the birth of your child, you have to apply for. And it's really like an application for a job. You have to go there. And sometimes you have several like job interviews and you're sitting there and just presenting your kid.
Oh my gosh. So how great and easy it is.
Yeah. So this is really stressful. It's especially in the big cities, it's like that. And then you have big differences, how many places you have, and of course, how much you pay for the childcare.
But let's stay with this first scenario, because this is nobody knows this in Sweden, really. maybe we have to explain that more. It's called Notgruppe or emergency care.
Yeah.
Kind of emergency system that is comes into place when there are two severe staff shortages, and that happens all the time. So then either you have to pick up early the kid or are not allowed to send it to daycare at all, right?
That's it. And then you can apply for the Notgruppe. So that's when you really cannot stop working, when you really have like emergent dates at work and things to do. But it's really for very, very few children, and sometimes you really have like applying for it and saying why you need this right now. So that's really,
there's a triage going on then.
You can say like this. Yes.
And then you also mentioned how hard it is in some municipalities at least to get a nursery place. Do you know right now how many places are missing approximately?
So the last figures came out in summertime. It was like, I think, 130,000, something like this. Yeah, so it's really like 150,000 places still missing in Germany, even though we had huge investments in this, but it's still not enough.
And now the big question for me comes up. Why? I mean, if there is this law on paper and this right to a daycare place, why? How is it possible that it is like that?
That's a really good question. One of the answers is that it's our federal system, that every Bundesland decides themselves how they built it. So we have huge differences between the Bundesländer. That's one part of the problem. You also have like in one Bundesland, you have to pay. In the other one, you don't have to pay. And there are some you have to pay a lot, like 700 euros per month or even more. In others, you don't have to pay anything or only the food. So it really depends where you're living, how much you have to pay it. And so this is also a big problem in Germany, because if it's so expensive for many mothers, it's really not worth to work because you have to pay so much for the childcare that there is not much money left. So that's also a big problem. I would say the biggest problem is that we don't have enough staff there are not enough Erzieherinnen, like we call it in Germany, educational personnel people that are working there. So this is one of the main problems, because in Germany, it's not that good paid as in Sweden. It's not attractive. It's mostly women working there, and they also have their own kids. So they have the same problems. They have to stay at home with the sick kids. So it's a bit going on like this. It's a domino effect, you can say. And it's really not an attractive job in Germany. It's they try to make it more attractive, but maybe it will take some time to, you can see the consequences.
But what does this lack of dependable childcare mean for mothers' daily lives? How can they plan work?
Not really. That's the main problem. I mean, you don't know if you can really have, like, your boss can rely on you that you will really finish your work, or you have to finish it in the evening when the kids are sleeping. So that's also a big problem, and that's also what's causing so much stress, you know, because, you know, in the evening, okay, I have to go on checking my emails because I couldn't do it. I had to get up to get my child earlier this day. So that's really a big, big problem for a family life. And then it's also hard for women to find a good job. In Germany, you have this big, big gender pay gap, and it starts when you get your first child. It really starts, because then most of the women, they're only working, like, having a half-time job. And then after the taking your free time after the birth of the child, and you come back to the job, and there's really a big problem that women, they don't get their old job anymore. They take a job which much less responsibility because it's only half-time job. And so this is really a problem. And it's like the enterprises, they know, okay, women don't have... We cannot rely on women because they have to go and get their kids from daycare. So this is really a big problem for women to find a proper job.
And how is life then for single mothers in Germany under those circumstances?
So this is really hard, because you don't have help, and you really need a very good network you can rely on, that you can say, okay, I need somebody to take care of my kid. And it's also one of the problems that we have. It's one of the most vulnerable groups in Germany for poverty, because you cannot work so much. You cannot have a full-time job, and it's really hard. Then you have to spend so much money for the childcare. And so it's really one of the most vulnerable groups in Germany for poverty, and it's a really big, big struggle for single moms. So it's like, what is hard for normal moms, it's even like a 50% more on stress on this.
And this group, yeah. They're even more exposed to all of this, of course. But some things are improving even in Germany. After the summer, for example, when the new school term starts, children in primary school will have the legal right to 8 hours of daily care. You're already laughing.
Yeah, but that's something that's really nice written on the papers, and it sounds nice. And we have big, big problems to organize this, because we don't have in schools, you don't find enough rooms for all the kids to stay there, because we don't have any infrastructure for this. We had to find staff for this, and it's not that easy, because it's the same staff that is missing in the childcare. So we really have a big lack of staff, and then we have a lack of rooms. And this is the main problem, because it won't be solved in summertime. Of course not. I don't know how they will manage it.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned here is quite the difference to Sweden too, because the schools were built in a time when there was no fritids, how it is called here, this afternoon care. And yeah, so there is no infrastructure, no rooms, no buildings for this. Yeah. We already touched upon part-time work, and I just want to give some facts and figures here. In Germany, about 60% of all mothers with two children, so... a mother of two, 60% of them work less than 30 hours a week. This is OECD statistics. So yeah, we have a vast majority working very little hours. And in Sweden, this number is 8%. So this, it's a huge gap we see here. And there has also been a political debate about restricting the legal right to part-time work in Germany, which was sparked by Friedrich Merz, as I mentioned earlier, who does not approve of the so-called lifestyle part-time. That's a quote. How do you view this discussion based on everything we just talked about?
It's such... We were all laughing when we heard this. It's like in all the mothers I know, we were all laughing because we, most of us, want to work much more, but it's really not possible, as I said, with the situation like this. It's not possible. And it's really, he's not talking about improving structures, improving the salary for the people working in the childcare. He's just saying, okay, you have to work more, but he's not really thinking about why we don't want to work more. And so we were all laughing, you know, you get a bit like,
black humor.
Yeah, you have to have a lot of black humor to stand this discussion. And of course, he's not really talking about family politics and stuff like this. And what he's not asking, what can I do for you that you can work more? It's just like, you have to work more. And so it's really very typical for Germany, because how we families organize our family life, how we organize the life working balance, how we organize the things with school, teaching the children, it's up to the families, it's up to us how to organize it. We are really like being alone with this problem, and it's not the state who's really taking care of this. This is very, very typical in Germany. The politicians, they say, you wanted to have a child, so now you have to take care of the child, and you have to organize how you will live with the child and organize your life. So it's something very private, and that's the main problem.
Yeah, they put all the responsibilities on the individuals, on the families, on the women. I hear you here. So the lack of dependable daycare is one reason for many women why they work part-time. But another reason is the German tax system. Just to give some background to our listeners in Sweden here, Germany has a joint tax system for married couples. There's something called Ehegatten splitting. And that means instead of taxing each partner individually, both incomes are added together, then split in half and taxed as if each partner earned the same amount of money. And this often benefits couples where one partner works full-time and the other partner part-time. So this is the tax reality. Why do you think Germany still has this tax system clearly based on a family ideal from like 1950s?
I really don't know, because since I think 30 years, we have a big discussion about this, and also the OECD is saying you have to change this, because it's also unfair for single moms who cannot have any profits of this. So I really don't know. I think there are huge conservative voices who are really for this and not going to change this. And with the actual government, I don't see any chance that this will change.
You could argue that laws shape norms in society. What norms does this German tax system reinforce for mothers and fathers?
It's still the old norm that the father is working, earning all the money for the family, and the mother is just working a bit and mostly taking care of the kids and their housework. So that's still the main picture in the head of many, many people. And we also can see that there are more and more women saying, okay, I want to stay at home and take care of the kids, maybe just working in a bakery for 10 hours a week just to have something to do and to have jobs, to have some little money for myself.
Like
a little pocket money. Yeah, that's it. But you really can see this. It's of course, it's not the majority of women. The majority wants to work more, and we can see it in all the statistics, but you can see this backlash, and even more on social media, that it's really getting more and more in the mind of the people. And of course, if you have this tax system who's really like rewarding families who have this traditional family living roads. So as long as this is like this, I don't think things will really, really make a big change.
But let's look at those norms a little bit more. How would you describe the ideal mother in Germany? How is she? What is she doing?
Yeah, that's the problem. Why mothers are so many mothers just like have a burnout or even more problems. It's you still have this classical traditional role model, like the mother is the one who's taking care of the kids, who's taking care that everybody feels fine. You not only have the mental load, but also the emotional load, taking care that everything looks nice at home, decorating things nicely and warmly, and baking some bread and stuff like this. So this is really an ideal which still stuck in the mind of many, many people. And you have this really this bad conscience that you're not doing enough is something that really belongs to be a mother. I also have this, though I'm quite feminist and writing books about this. And
you want to decorate.
Not decorating. That's not really what I'm good in, but I want to have that they have good food at home. And I feel bad when I'm working too long. And of course, when my kids were still in the childcare in the kindergarten, for me, when I arrived lately and I was the last one, because most of the mothers come around 2 o'clock. It's open till 4 o'clock, but most of them come at 2 o'clock. It was always around 3 o'clock when I got my kids from there, because I don't want to be the last one at 4 o'clock. When you come at 4 o'clock, it's really like, oh my God, she's working so long in Germany. And it's also me, I know this bad conscience. Am I doing enough? Am I good enough? Or do I take enough time with my kids? And yes.
Yeah, I think even mothers in Sweden know this feeling very well, and there are high expectations here too. But here I have to say this magical line is at 4 o'clock. You're a great mom or dad, by the way, when you pick up at 4, then it gets a little bit shady. But yeah, so it's different, but there are similarities. And there's one special term that I would like to talk about too, and that is the word Rabenmutter, a very German word, and it translates to raven mother or Korpmor. It's difficult to translate because there is no such thing in Swedish. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, that's very typical. I also searched for translations and I haven't found any translation to any other language. And it's
yes.
very, very
that
typical.
That speaks volumes.
Yes, that's very typical for us. And it's like you say it for a mother who's working too much. And it's also the question, why did she want to have kids when she's working so much? And I guess you never say this about a man. And it's really typical to say this about mothers. And then it's another thing, a Rabenmutter is somebody who's taking care of herself and not only taking care of her kids and not just doing everything for the kid. And it's also like, oh my God, she's meeting her good friend. And what are they doing now without kids? They're having an evening together. And how can they do? Oh, there's the father helping the kid going to bed. Oh my God, how can she leave her kid alone? It's very typical. Of course, not in the big cities where you have this woke bubble around you. But of course, and when you're living on the countryside, it's like this in the villages.
You could argue that you have just a different norm in Sweden. Here it's so common that mothers work, and many of them 80, 90, 100%, somewhere there. And well, one could say in Germany, at least mothers have the possibility to stay at home with their kids. Maybe this gives them more freedom. Maybe it is a life they want to live. It's very difficult to do that in Sweden. So isn't that also a positive thing?
This is a positive thing. And I think you always have to have your own choice how you will spend your life. But the problem in Germany is that many women who are choosing this way of life, they are so dependent on their husband. And this is the big problem when they get divorced, that you have a huge risk for poverty after being divorced. And there are many women who want to get divorced, but they cannot because they cannot afford to live alone. Because they have never, since they got children, they have never earned their money for themselves. And so this is it's a big problem also for later on, for being poor when you're old. It's also
when you're retired. When you're retired,
yeah, it's a big problem for women, especially in Germany. Mm-hmm. So you have the choice, but on the other hand, you really can have this dependence.
Where do you think all these gender roles and norms come from, like historically or culturally?
Yeah, it comes from the Romantic, from the from the epoche, from the times. It comes really from the like the 19th century when it started to be the ideal to have the family, and the women's role was to take care of kids and household, and the man was working. And this picture of the how the perfect family should be, it's still from these times. And of course, when you look back to history, you had like the 20s, which were very powerful in Germany. When you look at the Berlin from the 1920s, it was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing how it has been compared to today. And then you had, of course, the Nazis, and everything changed. And they had this like this Silberne. What was it? This Ehrenkreuz for the...
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember the name, but mothers could get an award, Mutterkreuz.
Mutterkreuz, you got an award for having, like, I think more than 7 children, something like this. And it really, they wanted to have women stay at home and not taking care in daily work life and stuff like this, to be dependent from their husbands and to raise sons, of course. After the war, things got very traditional again, and Germany really decided to go this way, just that you have these traditional family role ideals here. So it was really it was a decision to do it like this. And up till this 1977, women were only allowed to work when their husband gave them the
permission.
The permission to work. Yeah, thank you. So you can see it was very, very late in the end of the 70s. I was born in 1980, so only 3 years before my mother could only work because my father allowed it. So this is really crazy. It's not that long ago.
Yeah. And you're also right. After the war, family and the private got, it was kind of escapism also. Like, this is where we now find joy and peace, and we have this perfect family. And I guess that was even stronger, much more, much stronger here than in Sweden in the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, of course, it's also understandable when you look back at this time, because in during the Nazi regime, it was like this, that the state educated the children and raised the children. And then, of course, they said, okay, we don't want this again, that you can really educate influenced. The whole people, influence the people, so it should be private. So this... looking back at this time, it's understandable why things went this way. But yeah, it never changed throughout the years in the 70s. There were so many changes in society, but this, it's really hard to change.
But we have to say, in East Germany, after the war, we had a whole different scenario. And for 40 years, we had a system, a government where women were expected to work. They worked, and they worked full time, and there was accessible daycare. We had this completely different view on parenting in the East for 40 years. Why didn't that spread to all of Germany after the reunification?
That's a really good question. And I think one is that the childcare was not the best quality. You had big groups of kids, and they were mostly left alone. So it was not not really like good childcare should be. So that's maybe one of the reasons. But it's really strange, because they didn't even take the infrastructure. They closed everything down, and it was a bit like they wanted just to destroy all the structures that they've built there.
Yeah, it must have been some kind of ideological decision to say this existed, but it wasn't good.
Yeah, that's it. I guess so. It was really like we want to take, now have the modern new Bundesrepublik, and that's of course what we had in the Western part before.
Mm. If you now became the Chancellor of Germany, Nathalie Klüber, taking charge of family policies, what would be the first thing you would do to improve the situation for working mothers? Say one measure.
I think I would go down with the election age at the age of 16 or even 14 that you can elect at any election in Germany. Because
does that have mothers?
This will help because the politics will have to think about families and how you can improve the situation for families. Because in Germany, we really have the problem that most of the people in the elections, they're over 60 or even 70. So, of course, politics are made for the old ones. So I think this would really change the view because you have to take more care of the young people and the interests of the young people. And so it's also the interests of the people who are having young kids right now. So this would change a lot.
You believe in the power of the young voters and democracy.
Yes.
I really like this approach. Thank you very much, Nathalie Klüver, a freelance journalist and author, for explaining the structures and the struggles of German motherhood.
Thank you for being here.
Jag heter Sonja Leister. Tack för att du lyssnade på Tysklandspodden. Snart hörs vi igen och i nästa avsnitt ska jag intervjua den tyska journalisten Gilda Zahebi om polarisering. Varför har den politiska debatten i Tyskland och i Sverige blivit så hetsk och vad kan vi alla göra för att förstå varandra bättre igen? Tysklandspodden är en podcast av Goethe-Institut Schweden. Produktion och redaktion Ylva Ratjen, Judith Mirschberger och Sonja Leister.